April is Autism Awareness Month, and to celebrate this, I have been sharing stories from parents with children on the spectrum. Last week, we started listening to Edna's story. If you haven't listened to that, please pause and play the previous episode. It will really help you with context for this episode. This is Mama Tales, a podcast on our collective motherhood journey. I'm your host, Sally Kuria. If this is your first time listening, karibu karibu sana. New episodes like this drop every single Tuesday, and you can find these episodes in major podcasting platforms and on YouTube as well. Just check out Mama Tales Podcast on any one of those platforms. You can also join the over 800 people subscribed to our bi-monthly newsletter. This is a space I use to share ideas beyond this podcast, and it is open to contributors. So if you have an idea or thought on parenting that you'd like to share with us, please let me know by replying to any issue. You can find the newsletters and link to subscribe in the show notes of this episode. Lastly, make sure to follow this podcast on our socials. That's at Mama Tales Podcast on Instagram and TikTok. I've been using this platform to share some thoughts that seem to be very relatable to you. So if you want to see that and keep up with me on a real-time parenting basis, plus a whole lot more of other things that I'm very interested in, do check out my personal page on Instagram as well. That's at Sally Mugore. All of these pages will be linked in the show notes. To quickly recap, Edna and her husband noticed that their second-born child was a little bit different. She would tiptoe everywhere, wouldn't make eye contact or utter any words. After consulting with a few doctors, they were referred to the Early Childhood Development Center in Gertrude's Hospital for a diagnosis. Just as they suspected, their daughter was autistic, and thus began their journey.
And nobody tells you what autism is. Now you go find out for yourself what is autism, and now you're told, okay, now for us, we are told, okay, your daughter is autistic, so you come this and this date, we're going to give her like a, it's called like a schedule of therapy, how her therapy should go, like a program. Because autism is a spectrum. That means no two people on the spectrum are the same. What will work for one autistic child may not work for another. So every child, every autistic child has their own plan of therapy or own program. Fortunately and unfortunately for others, it's severe. Because remember, it's a spectrum. That means others are high up on the spectrum, others are low on the spectrum. My daughter is somewhat low on the spectrum because she's not deformed, because autism can also cause deformation. You know, her muscles are okay. She's nonverbal. Yeah, she can walk. Some autistic children can't walk. She can talk, though not communicate. Some autistic children don't talk at all, not even read and all that. So her program was put. But the amount of money we were injecting into that program, we're like, no, it's not possible. So we sought for an alternative, which was at least cheaper to maintain and things we could do. So we went to Kenyatta, and that's where now we've been all along, because it was flexible for us in terms of payments. And personally, we just felt, after going there, we just felt like, you know, the way you just feel home?
Yeah.
Yeah, we felt home.
And does insurance pay for anything?
No. No, only if you're a civil servant. No, but maybe they can pay for consultation, because you see, when you go for therapy, you still go and consult. There's that consultation money that you pay. I think that they can pay for. But now for therapy, there are some insurance, I may not know of them, that could pay, but the ones we are in don't pay for that. Yeah, it's out of pocket. And unfortunately for some autistic children, they are on medication. I bless God because mine is not on medication. Some are on medication. Some see a psychiatrist as well. So again, autism is a whole spectrum. So no two people or no two children on the spectrum are the same, even if they are both autistic. Autism is a journey. Number one, the autistic child or the autistic person doesn't even understand themselves, because they don't know why they act the way they do. And most of the time, they cannot control it. So it's a journey for both the caregiver and the person who is autism, who has autism. So you get to learn each other. So I got to learn what if you know, there are ways you get to learn if your child is a seeker or an avoider. So if you check on how they react whenever they go to places. For example, my daughter can't stay for long in a supermarket or a mall. That is too much information for her. Me and you, when we go to a mall, we know, okay, we are going to a mall, we are going to supermarket X, we'll just get in, buy what we need and get out. Yeah. But for an autistic child, when they get in, they count the number of cars in the parking. When they get in, they see the colors in the parking. Hatujaingia bado kwa mall. When they get into the mall, they can hear someone sipping on something. They can hear a dog bark somewhere. They can hear a cat. They can hear every little sound. They can hear a machine running. They can hear a child screaming. That is too much information for the head to take in for that child. When we go into the supermarket, they are seeing numbers, they are seeing colors, they are seeing letters, they are seeing people walking, the ladies in heels, shoes are tapping down, there's a water leaking somewhere. All that is being processed. So if you stay for that place for too long, there'll be an outburst. Wow. So when you walk into a supermarket or a shop and you see a child having a tantrum, please be kind on them, parent. Don't say, uyu amelea mtoto wake vibaya. Or this one has, you know, you're raising your child wrongly. You don't know. You don't know what that caregiver is going through. You don't know what that child is going through. So for my child, whenever I go to the supermarket, you see the way you put the child on a cart. I don't put her where they're supposed to stay. I put her inside the cart. Why? When she's inside there, it somehow blocks everything out. So I put her literally inside the cart and then I give her something to keep her busy. That way she doesn't go reading numbers. She doesn't go looking at things. She doesn't go absorbing all that information. That is number one. Number two, I don't take her out often. I take her out maybe once a week, or even in that week, I don't really take her out. And if I take her out, I take her out on days where I know the mall will be a bit quiet. There are not many places. If we entered, for example, till date, she's not been able to enter the church because it's too much. It's loud. She can't take in loud noises. And it's a crowd. She can't take in too many people. It's too much for her. So we don't go to church. And if we do, we go in shifts. Or we, whenever we go together, maybe because after church we need to go somewhere, my husband gets in the church, I maneuver around with the child. And whenever we go to an empty classroom. She will even lead you to the empty classroom. You don't have to take her. She will lead you to the empty classroom and she will sit there and be happy. So those are things we had to adjust. We don't go visiting a lot of times, relatives and all that. And if we go, we don't go with her so much. Because sometimes friends and relatives don't understand. They don't know why your child can't sit. They don't know why your child is 3 years and they cannot feed themselves. And they're still in diapers. They don't know why your child doesn't want to be touched. And you're a relative and you're supposed to be carried by everyone around you. You know? And they don't know it's okay for a child, because we assume that children don't know, but they know. They know this is my body and I don't want to be touched. And especially now, the festive season where everyone is gathered around the table, around the homes, it's chaos now for us, because now we can't take her to places because she can't be touched. She can't be, and we just try to give her as much comfort as possible. Because even how we understand that she's trying to deal with whatever it is she's dealing with. So those are some of the things that we had to adjust. We were told also to adjust her eating. So she doesn't take things with sugar. Why? Because she's constantly hyper. Sugar will make it worse. So if you have a child who is autistic, or you know someone who is autistic, let them find the best diet for the child. And yes, sometimes it may mean breaking the bank, but whenever you can.
Yeah.
Where it's whenever you can. Yeah. Because again, I remember when I was talking to my occupational therapist about the diet of my child, the therapist was like, we also don't want to starve the child, and also we don't want to have a malnourished child. Mm. In the name of no sugars, no gluten-free, no what. Yeah. So the thing is, avoid processed food, which is good because everyone should avoid processed food. So no crisps, no chips, no what, anything processed. Try and get things that, so instead of buying processed juice, make juice at home. A banana, a mango, blend it, give the child. Something of that sort, yeah? Instead of buying, you know, out, cook at home. Because it's easier, it's fresher, it's better. Things like that. So for us, we do gluten-free. But on a few days, she gets to eat chapos because, hey, that fly is expensive. My goodness. Nani kidogo. And you're like, me, I have a family to feed, a family of, you know, 7, 8 to feed. Nisangapi gluten-free. With taxes right now, yeah. It is expensive. So for me, it's easier. But to a parent or a caregiver who, you know, you're just being thrown into the deep end, take one step at a time. That's all I would say. Take one step at a time. Yeah. And don't be so hard on yourself. With this economy, don't be so hard on yourself. You want a child who is very healthy,
yeah,
as opposed to avoiding things for the sake of autism. Mm. Talk to your nutritionist. Talk to your doctors. They recommend and tell them, be open. Tell them, this is what I have, this is what I can afford. What can we do with what I can afford? They'll be able to tell you, okay, because you can afford this and this, why don't you take this? Instead of putting sugar, do dates. Grind your dates, put them in porridge.
It works.
Get what you need for your child. Mm-hmm. So for us, we adjusted our diet. Finances,
Yeah.
I mean. So roughly, again, not all children are the same.
Yeah.
For my child, it costs us roughly between 30 to 50,000 in a month. Yeah, that is minus school. And here we are using Kenyatta. There are those who prefer using other hospitals that are paying higher. Kenyatta is subsidized and it's already expensive for us, yet it is subsidized. Because for us, we go to therapy every day, every single day, and it's a 1 hour therapy session. Okay, ideally it's 45 minutes. The other 15 minutes, it's debrief and all that. So this is what happens when we go for therapy. Of course, we drive there or ride there. You just find your way to your whatever hospital or whatever place that you go for therapy, you pay. So a therapy session may be 1,150 to 3,000, depending on the kind of therapy you're going for. Okay, the least is 1,150, 1,200. That's the least.
Per day.
How jack a fuel, because you'll need to transport yourself there. You haven't put in maybe a light snack. Whether you'll cook it at home or buy it, you will still have to get a snack for that child because they can't go on an empty stomach, neither can they go on a full stomach. They need just to be satisfied because a hungry child will not cooperate.
Yeah.
They'll throw tantrums all over the place and a full child will keep vomiting. Yeah, so they need to be just right. And you need to carry something that has sugar. It can be natural sugar, like a fruit. Because the activities they do are a bit involving. Again, depending on the kind of therapy you take your child to. Because every child has their own program. So we get there. I remember the first time. Oh, I cried. We go to the OT place. Occupation therapist place. And then, of course, you wait to be called. So when you're doing a 9-to-5, my friend, the stories I hear whenever we go there. So what happens? You go, you pay, da-da-da. You wait for your turn because they take children in turns. Yeah. So they take between maybe 8 children per session, 8 to 10, depending again with the number of students that are there. Remember, it's a referral hospital. So we are dealing with students. We are not dealing with... yeah, the specialists are like 2 or 3. The rest are students who are coming in handy. Yeah, to learn and also coming in handy. So you enter the room, you remove the child's socks, the child's jacket, because the child has to be very flexible and very airy and light to move up and down, to jump and do all that. And then you're told, "Aya, sasa wewe, go sit there." And all you can hear from this room is screams. And they're telling you, you see those cries and screams? Learning is taking place. So don't worry. Analia, yes, but don't worry. Learning is taking place. And as a mother, you're just supposed to trust. You don't know what is happening there. You're hearing your child's cry and all you think is, "I want to go and save my child." But you can't. Because you're supposed to trust that the doctors know what they're doing. Ideally, they know what they're doing, because at Ogiachi, we mtoto, when they let you have that child, you don't know what to do with that child. So you just trust them. That's what happens. So they go in for 45 minutes. There are different activities depending on their sensory or whatever sense they are seeking. So there are those who need to be calmed down. There are those who need to be shown how to concentrate. So there are different activities depending on the child's program. There are activities they do as a group and the activities they do alone, like just waiting. And ideally, all they do is play. So play is very important to a child, because that's the only way that child can learn. So as a caregiver or as a parent out there, if you have children, don't look at those jumping castles in the malls, those trampolines in the malls, and you're thinking these are just people out to get money. No. Anytime you can pay, go and pay, because that is what I am paying. I'm being forced to pay right now, literally. And it's not because I refused to pay early, but that is what my child needs on a constant basis, every single day. They need to go on a trampoline and jump, because as they jump, things are triggered in their mind. And they can only get that sense whenever they jump. They need to go on a swing, because as they swing, the mind is also being triggered. They need to go on a slide. As they go down the slide, their mind is also being triggered, and all these things trigger different places in the mind. So play is a necessity. It's not luxury. It's a necessity. Every child must play. Take them out to those jumping castles. Whenever you hear you're in an estate, your children are playing together, and you hear one child beating the other, as long as they are safe, allow them to beat each other. Allow them to interact. Don't interrupt, because you're not helping that child. That child needs to learn, "Oh, so I can be hit. Oh, so I can fight for my toy. Oh, so someone can actually borrow my toy and we can share." They need to learn that, because ideally that's how the world is. Me and you right now are sharing a table. You're not on your table there and me on my table there. You can't. So allow your children to learn how to solve their own problem without you. Because you right now as a grown-up, your mother doesn't come to interpret whenever your boss is telling you CG what. They don't come to say, "Hey, that's my son you're shouting at. That's my daughter you're telling you will deduct from salary." Your mother doesn't come to do that. Neither does your father. So you need to allow your child to learn how problem-solving skills as early as possible. I could not sustain an 8-to-5 job because of my child. Because which employer, by the way, if there's an employer to the end, you can sustain this, please hook me up. Which employer will understand that you have to be in therapy every day from, and it's not an 8-to-9 thing, because remember, you have to travel. They are fine. You will travel very early, get on point, on time, 8, but you'll have at 45 minutes, and then how will this child go back? And unfortunately, this is not something you can delegate. So the people I am with, many at Kenyatta, whenever we sit down, number one, many of the caregivers are mothers. Why? Some of their husbands have left them, because what kind of child are you bringing into the family? So marriages have been broken. Many of them are single are single parents. Many of them are jobless. They're living in households where, for those who are blessed to have their spouse, it's their spouse working. Yeah. I couldn't keep a 9-to-5 job. Yeah. I had to be there throughout the therapies. She will not let your house manager go for this therapist, because after the 45 minutes, 15 minutes are with you and the doctor telling you how this child is, how this child has behaved during therapy, what you need to change at home, what you need to do. A house help will not help you with that. And even if they can, today you're with that house help, tomorrow they're not there. And then what? You start again introducing another house help? Doesn't make sense. And many, 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 because also some of our house managers are not up to par when it comes to education and all that. So they cannot really understand. Ukiambiwa peleka mtoto swing, atakuja kuambia sangapi daktari amesema swing. Whenever they get to the house, them, they're in work mode. They'll probably forget the important things that they needed to tell you. So we could not delegate that. One of us had to take up and be there throughout. So whenever my husband, I thank God for a supportive spouse. He's always there with me. Sometimes he holds meetings when he's at the hospital, because and otherwise. Being there with your child is very important. Why? The doctors keep saying you're the best therapist. Yes, you will bring them here, but I'm with them for 45 minutes. Yeah. You're with them a whole entire day whenever you are not bringing them for therapist, and even when you're at home. And this therapist is not some therapy for an autistic child. It's their way of life. A day will not come and you tambiwa, now stop. The only thing that can happen is to reduce the number of times they need to go. So for example, you might be taking them every day. They'll reach a specific time, and unfortunately that time cannot be specified. So whenever you have an autistic child, it's a journey. Yeah. It's not something you'll be told, okay, once you are done with your 12 therapy sessions, your child will be good to go to the next level. Mm-mm. It's until it happens. It's until it happens. And unfortunately, nobody knows when it happens. We have autistic children who spoke when they're 7 years old. Others at 30s, they just speak at 30. They've been quiet all their life. They just speak at 30. So it's a whole journey. And you're in that journey a lifetime. Yeah. So it's not something you'll be told, okay, you've done 15 sessions, you're good. Now go to the next level. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Yeah, so depending on where you go, what you do, roughly, there are those who spend even up to 100,000, because it depends with your pocket. Really depends with your pocket. Right now, we've taken a break because the money is not moneying. But now we have to do it like at least once a week. Yeah, so that we don't break that connection, that growth. So it reached a point, the doctor recommended that my child needs to go to school. Mm. And of course, you go to the kindergartens and all that, because ananza shule. So remember, my issue is not for my child to learn, because that classroom is also therapy for them. My issue was for her to learn how to socialize, because her major problem is socializing. Yeah. No matter how much you call her, she will not respond to her name. Again, that's another sign that we found out in childhood. You'll call her, she's called Sifa. You'll call her Sifa. And she's just ignoring you. That is what we thought. Ah, mtoto na ignoring you watu. But she's not ignoring you. The mind cannot process that she's being called. She does not know what to do with that information. Yeah. She only knows what to do with the information that her brain will process on its own. Mm. This one that is being triggered by something else, it's just not being processed. So no matter how many times you call her, she will not respond to her name. She will not even look at you. It's like you're talking to yourself, yeah, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they told us she needs to go to school. So well, in my head, I'm like, shule tu. See, I just choose the one I want.
Yeah.
Which one? Cool. Picky, picky, ponky. This one will come to you. And then we go. So we do that. The first school. Uh-huh. Yeah, we are here, we're bringing our child. What? School fees ningapi? And they're like, even before that school fees, bring that child first. Let's have a look. And they look at the child and they're like, no, we're not taking her.
and you go to the next school.
Eh. She's what? Autistic, okay. How old? She's yet to turn 3. Oh, so like 2.5. Mlete. And we take the child. They observe the child and we're like, no, we're not taking her. I have never felt rejected in my life. Let me tell you, I mourned a child who was alive. Like literally mourning a child who was alive. I felt a deep sorrow. I felt like, now even if the simplest of institutions cannot accept you, then what exactly am I doing with you? Mm. It was so tough. Those were the toughest times. Yeah. Just being rejected, rejection after rejection after rejection. And I was like, now me, I'm feeling like this. What about the day she will understand who she is? Because society will teach her who she is. Yeah. She cannot run away from that. Society will show her, oh, you're different. That's not how we do things here. That's not how people do things, let alone here. That's not how just how people do things. How will she take rejection? Mm. And one day we found a lady. We live in Rongai. So one day we found a lady who has a school by the name Toto's Ark. We were going for Bible study. We hadn't met before. And I was just telling guys about my journey with my autistic child. And, you know, they were encouraging me. And she was like, by the way, I run a school and I can accept your child. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you the relief. Have you ever carried mzigo and then you get home and put it down? That kind of relief that you feel, that's what I felt. Like something was just taken off my shoulder. And she took this child, and the goodness with her is that though she's running a normal school, now unfortunately for most autistic children, they don't fit in a special school, neither do they fit in a normal school. They are in between. Because you see, this is something with the brain.
Yeah.
This is not something physical. You're not blind, you're not deaf, you're not on a wheelchair. It's your brain that has the issue. So you don't fit in a special school because others actually have gone to a special school and they become worse. And others have gone to a normal school and they become worse. So you need a school that can accept this child, not a school fit for them. It's basically a school that can just accept this child the way she is. So we found one, and fortunately for her, so if you're somewhere in Rongai, just look for Toto's Ark, and you have an autistic child, look for Toto's Ark. They will accept. And the good thing with that is that she brings in an occupational therapist once a week to look at those children, because her school does both. So we get a relief, the child starts going to school. Now, unfortunately, for autistic children, they thrive in schedules.
Yeah.
So every day we wake up, we do our morning routine of, you know, taking food, dressing up, putting the bag on our back, and heading to school. And then school closes. And now the child doesn't know what to do with, yeah. with themselves.
Yeah.
And now it is chaos in the house.
Yeah,
because she wakes up. Now you're breaking this cycle. So she's used to waking up, you know, dressing, eating, taking her bag. So in the morning she wakes up, you know, her alarm clock is in her mind. She just wakes up and she's literally on time. She puts her bag and we're like, Mama, no, today we are not going. And it's a meltdown in the house. Because why aren't we going? That is not what we do. Because autistic children thrive in schedules. And whenever you break that, they fight it. So now we are really trying. At least there are days we still put on our bags and we go and we have to go. So we just take her out for a walk, take her out for a ride in the car or something. Then we come back in. Some days are better than others. So again, next year, again, going back to that, it's hell on earth. But now what do we do? We just have to ride on it and, you know, move with it.
Wow.
So that's how it is. So the kind of support we get is getting a relative who understands us, who can stay with this child even if it's for 1 or 2 hours for us just to take a break. The kind of support we get, we are in a group that have autistic caregivers. So whenever they have webinars, whenever they have anything the government is talking about disabled children and our children can benefit from, we are there. They give us information. Because let me tell you, when you have an autistic child, you become a researcher. Mm. I thought I was a researcher. But now I became a researcher on a whole new level. Because you need to research, read, research, read. Because let me tell you, children with autism, even them, they're discovering things. Today you wake up doing this, tomorrow you wake up doing something else, and you're just back online. What does it mean for an autistic child to do 1, 2, 3, 4? There are some behaviors that my child used to have, and it's only through research that I knew, oh, she's steaming, what you call steaming. So steaming is basically whenever they're in an autistic person is an environment where it's too much for them. They do something, it could be flapping, clapping of hands, shaking head, rocking, jumping up and down to soothe themselves or to calm themselves. And steaming has its own benefits and advantages and disadvantages, because some steaming methods are self-harming. Mm. Yeah, like hitting themselves. Yeah. So then they find soothe in that, because now they don't know what to do with all these emotions that are coming up in their brain. All they can do is soothe themselves. So now for my daughter jumps. So you'll think she's excited. She's not excited. She's trying to calm herself down. So you'll just see her jumping everywhere. Or she runs. Like in this room, she'll be running from one wall to another and back repeatedly until she's calm. So I would wonder, why does this child do this? Or she'll lay on the bed and then starts lifting her feet up and hitting them. And she'll do that even a whole hour until she calms herself down. And steaming is good because it teaches the child, you see, you'll forever not be with them. In an environment where they are getting too much information. They need to learn how to calm themselves so that they're able to talk, so that they're able to communicate, so that they're able to do their daily routines and all that. And steaming helps. So whenever you see a child having a repetitive behavior, try find out when do they have that behavior, why, and by that time what is happening around them, so that you're able to help them. And so that you check that their steaming behaviors are not self-destructive. Some bite, some chew on things. It's soothing for them. And you'll wonder, hey, mtoto anapenda kuuma. No, they're trying to find ways of calming themselves down. Even other normal children find ways of calming themselves down. It's just that for other normal children, it's slightly easier for them. But for autistic children, because of all this information they are getting, it might be a bit of a challenge, and that's why they need help. They need therapy. So it's a journey, and autism is a lifetime. So yeah. Get groups. Groups help a lot because you're able to ask a question. Hey, today it's a rough day. My child is doing 1, 2, 3. How can I help? And because maybe a parent has gone through the same, they can give you a referral. They can tell you what to do so that to help your child in that given time. And the good thing is that the group I'm in have experts. So if your child needs hydrotherapy, we have experts in the group. If your child needs whatever they need, we have experts. They can point you at the right direction. And my relatives, like my mother-in-law, has been so helpful. She has paid for some sessions. So she's like, mnenanga nini here. I've paid for 2, 3 sessions. So those are the kind of help that we've been receiving, my husband and I. Now, with other children, for us, we walk the journey with her. We do not isolate our elder daughter when in regards to taking care of this younger child. And then we treat them equally. So not because this one is autistic, we'll get them special treatment, no. However, there are those things that, of course, we will need to be like, you know, concentrating on them, all that. Because remember, we carry therapy back home. The doctors will tell us, oh, can you find activities where she can concentrate? And unfortunately for me, that activity has been drawing on the wall. So if you come to my house, it's painted with all sorts of crayons and colors on the wall. Because that's the only activity she will literally hold a pencil to draw. Because she needed to concentrate. She needed to put her mind towards an activity. And we tried building blocks. It wasn't working because of the colors. Again, colors trigger her. We tried making her sit down. She could not. So one day, as she was coloring, we were trying to make her sit down. I just saw her take a crayon and went on the wall and started drawing. And she stayed there for a whole hour. And we're like, ah, si ungesema.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had these walls for when? Since you were born. You should have said you wanted to paint the walls.
Yeah, you know,
yeah. You should have said something.
Yeah.
And that was it for us.
Yeah.
And it also meant another activity that really calms her down is, what is it called? Engine oil, engines. So whenever the father goes to the... One day, the father just went with her to the garage. She was so fascinated, she didn't want to leave. So she would get under the car, like the guys and spanners, and she would concentrate on that for a whole 2 hours, and she's fine. And we're like, boom, that's where we'll be going, the garage.
Family funding.
Yes. Go to the garage, get all dirty, get all greasy. But for us, it's a learning process.
Yeah.
We are learning. Yeah. So you'll need to find that. And now you see, for that, we allow the other child to come along. So even when we took our child first to be checked, we told her, we feel like Sifa is not so well. She may have autism, but we're going to find out. Like, we break it down. And even when the doctors are checking her, we tell her, this is what the doctors have said. This is what it means. We allow her to ask questions. And she asks, so what does it mean for this? What does it mean when she's doing this? We explain. So we do not neglect her. She takes care of her child, of her sister, just like any other sister takes care of their siblings. So we allow her. We literally allow her to be in her sister's life. Of course, it has changed her dynamics. Like playing, I realize she doesn't play a lot because I think maybe kids make fun of her. This is the sister with the widow. Children out there don't understand. But now we tell her, now you'll be your sister's ambassador. Tell children that your sister is autistic and tell them what autism means and show them how it means and show them that they can play with her just in a different way, not in a normal way. And walking that journey with her, showing her clips of people with autism who have made it, so that she does not also carry the burden of, oh, yeah, my sister. My sister is like this, my sister is like that. So that has really helped us. Going with her for therapy, sometimes whenever she's on holiday, we go as a family for therapy. And after that, we go maybe get a snack or two, or sometimes we even don't, we just get back home. So that she sees what exactly it means. So that whenever we are telling her, we've gone for therapy, she knows what it means to go for therapy. Mm. Whenever we're telling her, okay, now your sister is having a meltdown, she knows and understands what it means to have a meltdown. And she knows how to comfort her sister during that time. Mm. So we've really involved her in the process.
And since you started therapy, what are some of the milestones you've seen your daughter achieve?
Amazing, amazing milestones. Her vocabulary has increased. For the first time, she ate a banana. She could not eat a banana. We are still struggling with watermelon, but one step at a time. We are still struggling with oranges, but at least she can take, she can stomach it. So fruits have been a major one. You can now say hi to her. You can shake her hand. She could not. Her hand could not be shaken. Like, you could not touch her.
It was hard.
It was hard. Mm. She can tolerate a few people. Like, a good number of people. You will see her being uncomfortable, but she will be in the room. You will see her trying to go to the corner and just trying to, you know, steam and trying to calm herself down. But she will be in the room, which is a plus. She can talk. Like, now she can mimic words. If sometimes she'll hear me talk to the dad or the sister. And then later on, I'll hear her repeat the words I was saying, which is good. That means communication is taking place. She can call me. Now she calls me, Mommy. And she can call her the dad, Daddy. That was a major, 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 major one. So we've seen growth. She can sit because in the school, they are taught how to sit. While doing nothing, just sit on the table. Just sit. Because you see now, us, we're not after education.
Yeah.
And parents with autistic children need to accept the fact that sometimes, depending on where your child is, they might not be, like, educated, this normal system of education, to grow up and one day become something like an accountant, They focus on skills.
Mm.
They focus on talent. So that is, again, one thing that caregivers of autistic children need to understand and accept. Because it will almost look like, so why are you investing on this child?
Yeah.
Si ati atenda shule akwe daktari, sijui akwe nani akunu. You attend to shule and then later on they will play a piano somewhere.
Mm.
Because that's all they will do. Or they will do bidded work. And that's okay. It's okay. That's the path of that child. And it's okay and it's fine. And it's okay to invest in such a path. Because they can start earning money as early.
It's a
superpower in itself. They can start earning money as early as possible. If they're painters, start selling their paint early enough.
Mm.
They are renowned. We have very many great people who are autistic and they've made it. It's just that unfortunately for our country, we are still young in it.
Yeah.
We are still surviving. We are still trying to understand, okay, what is this? Is it even a thing in the first place? Or are we just, you know, naming things that are not there? That's where we are as a country. So there are some institutions that are trying. It's not yet there, but I know in time it will get there. And that's why I'm really passionate about getting this word out.
Yeah.
That autistic children are children, let alone, leave alone autism. They're children. They're just children before they're autistic. So that's basically what we are doing to get the word out there and just to help caregivers understand that journey, that it's a journey that might never end, but it's a journey worth taking, worth investing in, and just holding on to your child. Yeah. And of course, praying. I'm a big believer in praying. The Bible tells us that in due time, I think it's the book of Isaiah, in due time, God will make everything beautiful. God himself will make everything. In everything beautiful, in his own time. Not your time, not your clock. Your child is not late. He's within God's schedule. So if kama ni kuongea, ataongea. If it's potty training, which is the biggest headache, it will happen, imagine. One step at a time. We learn how to appreciate the small steppings. Those are the small steps. When I see that what my child is doing right now is called parallel playing. So she's not playing with the group, but even as the group plays, she's just there, doing her own thing, but she's there. When children are chasing each other running, she will run with them, but she's not chasing anyone. She's just running with them.
Yeah.
It's called parallel playing.
Yeah.
And for me now, I celebrate that because those are some of the milestones that she could not. At Isai, whenever there's a group, you'll find her in a group. It could not happen.
Mm.
How? Why? Yeah. It could not happen. So we've learned how to celebrate the small milestones. And when I say celebrate, literally celebrate, like buy a cake and celebrate.
Wow.
Yes, literally celebrate. Clap. Not just to say, oh, she can now talk, okay, and move on. Mm-mm. Literally celebrate.
Mm.
So that way you're also encouraging.
Yeah.
And then speaking life into that child every single day without getting tired. Speaking life. And one thing I love about the lady who owns Toto's Ark in Rongai is that she also doubles up as a counseling.
Mm.
Sometimes you just want to go there. You tell her, Taya, take the child and then come take me.
Yeah.
Because you need to cry, it's hectic. Autism, children with autism live in sometimes dysfunctional families because of them being autistic. I know of a friend of mine who has an autistic child. She hasn't seen the family for over 4 years. Sababu ya nini alitengwa? This kind of child cannot be found in our family. I know of autistic, you know, caregivers. Wamefutwa jobs. And now they are living from hand to mouth. They have to do odd jobs. Because now who will take care of this child? The employer doesn't want to understand that every day you'll be in the hospital with your child. That every day, and you need that money to take care of this child. Yeah. Because autism is not a cheap thing. And you see, it's a lifetime. We've had to adjust our spending. Because normally, any normal child, a parent to a normal child is thinking, okay, 4 years, nintafikiria school fees. Yes. So whether you're saving, you're not in a hurry. But here I am, boom. You need to. And therapy itself, it's almost like school fees. Because you are paying 30 to 50,000 in a month, that is minus fees. Sijamuingiza shule. For school, we were paying almost the same amount per day. Because your child is not in school.
Yeah.
They can't admit your child to school. She's not in school. She's not here to learn. Haingi playgroup.
Mm.
And she might stay in that playgroup for 2-3 years. Without moving to the next step. I've seen people whereby they're being asked to bring shadow teachers to school. That means you employ your own teacher to assist this child. Where on earth are you getting that money?
Mm-hmm.
Where? And there's an employer who doesn't want to understand that you have an autistic child.
Yeah.
I have what suits a lot of caregivers is working shifts. Because they're able, like I know a friend of mine who works during the day. No, during the night. So during the day, she's with the child. Anapeleka mtoto therapy, anamrudisha home. At night, anaenda job. So if she's a nurse, there are those who are nurses, that it works well for them.
But she doesn't rest.
She does not rest. That means no rest. Literally, she brings her child to therapy and she sleeps. And she tells me, Myra, wake me up when the doctors are done. Some are single parents.
Yeah.
I really applaud fathers who bring their children for therapy because it's tough. It's tough, as in they've raised, you know, being mocked, being told that, so you're the one who fathered this child. You know, for us women, we can easily tolerate it.
Yeah.
Helping a child, nurturing a child comes natural to us. For men, it stings their ego. What kind of child have you sired to this world? You know, is it? And then, you know, the way in Africa we believe children are for the men.
Yeah.
So you're being labeled, you and your work. Look at the kind of child you're bringing. So it's because of you that your wife has given birth to such. So a lot of divorces have happened because of giving birth to children with autism. But if you find a couple who knows God, a couple who understand each other, so it's not an issue of you're the one who gave birth. No, you're the one who fathered. You know, it's not an issue of that. It really, really helps when you have a spouse who is very, very understanding. Yeah.
I want to thank Edna Myra for sharing her story. There is a full-length version of her story on our YouTube channel, that's at Mama Tales Podcast. You can find her on Instagram at Mother's Voice KE and on YouTube at Chef Myra. Thank you for listening. Remember to share this with a friend or two. If you're listening to this episode on Spotify Mobile, let me know what you think about it and anything else you'd love to hear from this podcast. You can also offer support to this podcast. Check out details on how you can do that in the show notes. If you have a story to share, it is super, super easy. Fill in the storyteller submission form in the show notes of this episode for consideration. Remember, your story is powerful. Have a lovely rest of your week. Catch you in the next one. Bye.